أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد،
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنزلين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ. اللهم صل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك ترضاه وتبشره بها قريبا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
The creation that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has, it's either jinn or ins, which is human being, and among the other creations which he has are the angels. Jinn is that creation which is made of fire, human being, that is the mankind, made with clay, and angels again are the creations of Allah. Among all of these three creations, those who have the willpower and freedom are the humans and the jinn. And they will be, they are all duty bound, and there will be questioning from them. There is going to be this punishment and the reward. With reference to the jinn, Quran says, بَلْ عِبَادٌ مُكْرَمُونَ, that they are those dignified creation of Allah. And then وَهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِ يَعْمَلُونَ, and they are bound to be in whatever status they are. That is, Quran says some of the jinn that Allah has created, their task is to be in ruku all the time since they were created. Some of them in sajda all the time. So there are various tasks assigned to the angels. So whatever they do, they are bound to be like that. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهِ, and they are among those creations who do not disobey Allah. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهِ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ, and they are instructed and they do what they are instructed to be done. So, the angels are creations of Allah that are ma'soom. Ma'soom means over here that they do not do anything which is wrong. They are not duty-bound doing anything. Or in other words, they are a creation who have been created to be in that way, good. But we have this concept of ismat, that we believe that the prophets and the imams, they have to be ma'soom, they have to be infallible. What do we mean? When we talk about infallibility in the prophets and in the imams, it is not as such that they are a creation like the angels who are bound to be good. The prophets, the imams, they are among those creations who possess that free will, that willpower, based on which they perform and their actions are done. So, ismat that we talk about, that we have to have faith in the prophets being ma'soom, it doesn't mean that they are bound to be good. So if they are good, it's with their own freedom. It's with their own freedom. And proofs from aql and proofs from naql, naql meaning riwayat and ayat of Quran, there are many that can be quoted over here. For example, Quran says, قَالَ فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Shaitan swears an oath, says that I, by your dignity, by your might, addressing Allah, says I will mislead everyone but your sincere servants, إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. مُخْلَصِين, it is the sincere servants of Allah. Now, we've got two terms over here, mukhlisin and mukhlasin. Mukhlis is someone who is sincere. And among these mukhlasin, the best ones among the mukhlasin are known as mukhlasin. The prophets, they are mukhlas. Some of the servants of Allah who are mukhlas, even among them, there are some who are of that high quality who are known as mukhlas. Someone who is mukhlas, shaitan can find no way, has no access to that individual. Or for example, Quran says, وَذْكُرْ عِبَادَنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ أُولِي الْأَيْدِي وَالْأَبْصَارِ إِنَّا أَخْلَصْنَاهُمْ بِخَالِصَةٍ ذِكْرَ النَّارِ. Says, remember Ibrahim, Ishaq, Ya'qub. Now these are all men of power and insight, and surely we have purified them with a purifying. And what is that purifying that they have? Says they remember the final abode. That is, they remember the Day of Judgment. Our Quran recognizes the Day of Judgment as home, doesn't recognize this dunya as home. So people of that caliber who are so sincere, shaitan, he has no access in them. So those mukhlasin are those people, those creation of Allah who possess that essence. So, ma'sumeen, we believe, are the prophets, ma'sumeen are the imams, ma'sumeen are the angels, but angels are aside because they don't have that free will. But Quran says, obeying the prophets, it is incumbent, it's wajib on you. Why is that? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِنَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Because you have to obey them, that is the command of Allah. When it comes to imams and the prophets, the rank which they possess, it is not a rank that they can acquire by hard working. No, they can't. Rank of imams, rank of the prophets is something which is given to them by Allah. We believe that the imams and the prophets, they have to have three criteria. First of all, that appointment has to be divine. It's neither by selection nor election. Allah has to appoint them. Secondly, the knowledge which they possess has to be divine. And again, third, it is this concept of ismat which we believe. Now, what is the meaning of ismat again? Why do we say that they have to be ma'soom? And what is the definition of ismat? Ma'soom means that a prophet has to be pure in every aspect from the day he is born until the day he dies. He has to be ma'soom. That is, no sins should be committed by this prophet. No wrong must be seen by him. No sins, great or small. Or that jahl also must not exist in this prophet from the moment he is born until he dies. Among the different schools of thought that we have among the Muslims, there are various opinions about ma'soom and the prophets. Some say a prophet can commit a sin before his buluh, before he is mature. Some say that he can commit sins until he is 40, and after 40 he should not. Some say that only it is after this mission that is given to him by Allah, that is officially announced as the prophet, after that they should not commit sin. But there are weird opinions which say that even after that they can. But we believe, that is the Ahlul Bayt, the school of Ahlul Bayt, that from the day a prophet is born, an imam is born, till the day he dies, no wrong must be seen by this prophet, no sin must be committed by him, no disobedience of Allah. So it has to be a sterile environment of this imam, of this prophet, throughout his life. He shouldn't forget anything. That is, he has to possess that divine knowledge. Now why do we say that he shouldn't be forgetful? For example, if we have this glorious Quran in mind, and we believe that Rasulullah, God forbid, Allah, was not ma'soom, or he forgot during his lifetime, it means that this entire Quran which we have faith in, out of those 6,600 ayat, that Quran becomes null and void for us. We can't take it for granted. Because if we assume that Rasulullah, he had forgotten something, It means every ayah you pinpoint, you would come to this doubt that maybe it was this ayah that Rasulullah had forgotten and it has been mentioned in the Quran. So that is why they believe ma'soom, has to be infallible from the moment he is born to the moment he dies. No wrong, no greater sins, no lesser sins, no makruh, no forgetfulness, nothing has to exist in his life. That is our belief with reference to Imam being ma'soom and the Prophet being ma'soom. So when this mission of prophethood comes to an end, and that is by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Being appointed as the final prophet, as the final messenger, as the seal of the prophets, then this mission is transferred to the Imam, his successor, and his successor is Amirul Mu'minin. And for that, Quran says, now, the Holy Prophet, it is his last year of his life. He performs his only Hajj. And then when he is returning from Hajj, that occasion of Ghadir takes place. And there he officially announces Amirul Mu'mineen as his successor. Rasulullah, he serves for 63 years. Painstaking efforts which were seen by him, no other prophet ever saw so much. No other prophet was to bear that much of pain which Rasulullah had to bear. So much so that for that reason he was known as Rahmatun lil Alameen, mercy to the mankind. Now, Allah sees the performance of Rasulullah on one hand, services provided by him which are to the max, to the best of his ability. And now he says that, Ya Ayyuhar Rasul, O Prophet, this one instruction, this one command, if you do not carry it out, it is as if whatsoever you have done throughout these 63 years, all of that is going to be a waste. Nothing will be accepted. What is that? It says you have to inform the mankind who your successor is. And on his way back from Hajj, they gather at the point of Ghadir. And that is Ghadir al-Khum, and that is the only incident that has been reported in the books that we have from all schools of thought, where you have so many thousands of eyewitnesses, and all of them mentioning that one incident of Ghadir. What was that? Rasulullah stops by that point, and all these Hajis who are returning to their homeland, all those co-sons, he calls them back, and they all gather, they all congregate. And there he raises the hand of Amirul Mu'minin and say that whosoever's Mawla and master I was and I am, Ali is his master. And when he appoints Amirul Mu'minin officially in front of so many eyewitnesses, only then that ayah is revealed that Al-Yawm akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. Says, today Islam was perfected. And today Islam is perfected, that is, this deen is perfected, and upon you all the favors and blessings of Allah have been poured. وَرَدِيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, and I have chosen and selected Islam as a deen and a religion and a way of life for you. And then says, الْيَوْمْ يَعِسَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ دِينَكُمْ, that today it were the kuffar who were in despair, and that is by the appointment of Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And then we have the second Khalifa. He steps forward and then he says, Bakhim laka ya Ali, that is, the fate to you, ya Ali, asbahta mawla mawlaya wa mawlan mawla kulli mu'minin wa mu'mina. That today you have been chosen and selected, you've become the Mawla of every mu'min and every mu'mina. And again, bear in mind that all these important events that take place in Islam, Shaytan also has a presence. And it isn't as such that in these special occasions and on these special events, Shaitan, he sends his representatives or his ambassadors. Some occasions are such that he himself in person attends. Some occasions are just ordinary occasions. He can just send his envoy, his ambassador, or someone charged with affairs, and he would come and look and report back to Shaitan, this is what I have seen, this is what had happened. But on some occasions, we find that he himself in person is present. One of them is when Rasulullah passes away. And Amir al-Mu'mineen is busy with the funeral services of the Prophet. And it is, again, one of those oppressions that we have, tyrannies that we have, that the Prophet, who was the first person of Islam, being laid to rest by just one of the persons assisting Amir al-Mu'mineen, and in that miserable way, such mazlumiyat. When Amir al-Mu'mineen had finished with the burial of the Prophet, Abu Bakr and Salman, one of them, comes, and they report to Amir al-Mu'mineen that this is what had happened in Saqifah, and Abu Bakr has been selected as the first Khalifa. And then he says, I was amazed to see an old man present in that majlis who was weeping, crying the most. And we never saw him over here ever in Medina. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, you didn't recognize him? He says, no, we never saw him. That was the first time. An old man with marks of sajda on his forehead. And he was the first one who extended his allegiance, his bayat to Abu Bakr. Says that was Shaitan. That he, because it was an important event and occasion, he has to be there in person. And on another occasion, when Shaitan is present and in person, not sending any envoys or ambassadors, it's this event of Ghadir, he himself is present. He has to see what exactly is happening, so that based upon that strong and firm foundation that the Prophet has made, he has to start working. On the other hand, so that that strong foundation laid by the Prophet has to be weakened. So he himself has to be present. So that is among those occasions when Shaitan is present and in person. Rasulullah, he appoints Amir al-Mu'mineen as his successor, as the Imam, and that says, Aliyun akhi wa waziri wa warithi wa wasiyyi wa khalifati. That he is my wazir, my minister, my envoy, my inheritor, my successor, my khalifa in this nation, fi ummati, my nation. Wa waliyu kulli mu'minin min ba'di. And he is the wali, the custodian of every believer after me. And then Rasulullah, he defines and describes exactly what is this chain going to continue as. Says, Thumma ibni al-Hasan, after him it is Hasan, Thumma ibni al-Husayn, then it's Husayn, Thumma is'atu min gundi ibni al-Husayn, wahidan ba'da wahid. And from the progeny of Husayn, 9 more sons will continue this chain of guidance from the progeny of Husayn. And then he says, Al-Qur'an ma'ahum, Qur'an is with them. Wahum ma'al-Qur'an, they are the Qur'an. لا يفارقونه ولا يفارقهم حتى يرثوا عليهم قول. That is, they will not separate from Quran. Quran will not separate from them until they come and meet me at the pond, that is, in the hereafter, in the day of judgment. So, an important event which takes place over here, that is the event of Ghadir, and there Rasulullah clearly defines, describes that what exactly is going to happen and who the Imams are going to be. So ismats that we talk about is infallibility of the Imams, infallibility of Ma'asumeen, and the rank which they possess again, which is the rank of Prophethood and Imamat. It is not as such that anyone can get to that rank. Quran says, La yanalu ahdi al-zalimin. That is, this rank of Imamat, it is one of those special ranks, and someone who is dalim, someone who is a tyrant, he cannot get to that rank. Now, dalim doesn't mean that someone comes out with a gun and starts knocking people down. He is a zalim. That is one of those applicables of zalim. Zalim can be anyone. If I am doing wrong, I am committing a zulm, an oppression, unto my soul. Dhalam to nafsi, which we say in Dua Kumail, that the wrong that we do, all that is zulm that I afflict to myself, as a result of which I am knocking down the price tag of mine, which is the paradise. Because Quran and the Masumeen, they say, the price that Allah has set for each human being is the heaven. And me, by doing wrong, I'm knocking down the price of that of price of mine, which is the heaven. So someone who does more zulm is knocking down his price more rapidly and will be called and classified as a zalim, according to this definition. And Quran says, someone who is a zalim, he can never reach that rank, and that is that rank of prophethood, that rank of imamah. So, for that rank of imamah and prophethood, infallibility is a condition. The prophet has to be ma'soom, imam has to be ma'soom. Oh, that is why we find that إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
But when this ayah talks about the infallibility of Ahlul Bayt, that is, Allah has desired that all this wrong and evil and impurity be kept away from Ma'sumin. Be kept away, not like the problem, like the angels, where they are bound to be good. Here, it is their own wonderful, beautiful performance, as a result of which, that evil, that wrong, that impurity, it's distanced from them. It's away from them. So, impurity, it's away from Ahlul Bayt, not that they are bound to be away, no. Now, when we talk about ismat, to understand it in easier and simpler words, it is, for example, if you know that there is a glass of juice, which is, for example, expired. And if you drink it, it's going to hurt you, it will harm you. So you've got that knowledge that something which is harmful for you, you don't consume. So that intellect of yours commands you not to do it. When we say that a person is ma'soom, it is that intellect which Allah has given to them, it's multiplied by a huge big number. So that is that knowledge which they possess, which does not allow them to do sins. So when a ma'soom does not commit a sin, when a ma'soom is away from isyan and disobedience of Allah, it is not as such that Allah does not allow him to sin. No, if he wants, he can. But that ma'rifah, that knowledge which he has, the consequences of the sins which they have and they know, that does not allow them to go near the sin. When we talk about adalat, for example, justice, that you can say your prayers behind someone who is adil. Or someone who is adil, he can be a witness when he sees the moon and he can take his word. If a divorce, God forbid, if it is recited in the presence of Udul, of someone who is adil, that again divorce is valid. So what is this adalat? Adalat, if you multiply it by infinity, by a large number, that will make it ismat. And many a time we do find that among the ulama, they have reached to a rank which has made them enter the zone of ismat, the environment of ismat. For example, Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzmah Khomsari, when he passes away in the 1960s, among the very noble, very pious ulama, buried in the sacred shrine of Hazrat Ma'soomah at Qom. Now, when he passes away, Marhum Imam Khomeini gives out a circular, Ayatullah al-Uzmah Khomeini also gives out a message of condolence, and they say that an alim has passed away whose presence we found was very close to the zone of ismat, that shubha, that doubt of them being, him being ma'soom also was present. That is, that excess piety which he possessed, or that beautiful performance of that noble person. The same thing was said regarding Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Araki. So, people, that is general human beings, by their wonderful performance, they can arrive at a rank which Quran says, as illa ibadaka minhumul mukhlasin. Mukhlas is again those high and elite class mu'mineen from among the mukhlisin. And again, the next stage high up is the rank of ismat. So, ismat, it doesn't mean that when we say imam is ma'soom, imam, he cannot sin. He does not sin because that intellect of his, that mind of his, that aql which Allah has given to him, does not allow him to go near a sin because of the consequences they see in the wrong and in the sin. Now, this question may come to your mind, that how come to ma'sumeen Allah has given such high elevated ranks and positions? That is, if, for example, we were born in Kaaba, or if we were given that rank, we also would have been good people. When it's not as such. If Allah bestows a rank to someone, there is a very severe quality control also there. There is a very severe quality check. And if they do something wrong, they are just ousted. Ousted from that place. For example, regarding Prophet Adam, ala nabiyyana wa alayhi wa alayhi salatu wa salam, say,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alayhi Muhammad.
Prophet Adam, when, because of that tarki awla which he had done, what was that? That he went near that tree, he consumed and ate from the fruit of that tree, as a result of which he was ousted. Now the paradise which is mentioned over here, it is not that paradise which is going to be in the hereafter. That paradise is only after the Day of Judgment when mu'mineen will check in. Now, no. There is no one to check in now. It's only after the Day of Judgment. Jannah, which Allah talks about for Prophet Adam, it was a high location somewhere, and from that location he was demoted and sent down. For example, in Beverly Hills, somewhere like that. Sent away from there to another location. So, from that high location, he was sent to a lower location. So that is that Jannah which Allah talks about. So, for Ma'sumeen, for the Prophets, there is that strong quality control. And the same thing can be seen with those personalities to whom Allah gives that knowledge in abundance. Among them is this Bal'am bin Ba'ur, you must have heard his name. And during the time of Prophet Musa, this alim existed in Bani Israel who possessed that Ism-i-Azam. Ism-i-Azam again is the secret or the code word when some people have access to that, and with that code word they can perform miraculous tasks. And he had that code word. And from that password, people, they used to come to Bal'am and had their hajat and du'as accepted. So he was mustajab al-da'wah. What happens one day, they come and say that, come on Bal'am, you can go and curse Musa so that we get rid of him. Bal'am, he wants to go, and the donkey on which he is riding, he wants to go on a mountain and from there have that du'a to curse Prophet Musa. The animal on which he was riding, that animal wouldn't move, that donkey wouldn't move. He beats the donkey so much until he dies. The donkey says to him, you want to go and curse awaliyullah, and you want me to serve you? I will not serve you. An animal, a donkey, says that to Bala. And I will not serve you if you want to curse Musa, that is awaliyullah. Here, he hits him, beats him so much until that animal dies, and as a result of that, that password, that code word, that Ism-i-Azam, which was present with Bal'am, was seized away, and as a punishment, his tongue, it grew so long until it's his belly button, so that people, they could see and know him. That was the consequences of misusing that knowledge that was given to him. So there is that severe quality control. Or for example, if you look into Quran, it's the same thing. The wives of the Prophet, لَسْتُنَّ كَأَحَدٍ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ, that Allah says, you, the wives of the Prophet, you are not like every other woman. You are different. Because you are the wife of the Prophet. Because you are the wife of the Prophet, I will give you a double share of reward for the good you do. Also, if you do bad, a double punishment. Because you are the wife of the Prophet. So if someone is given that rank, a strong quality control is also there. all riwayat, they say that an alim, someone who has knowledgeable, if Allah says that I will forgive and waive 70 sins of a regular person before I forgive just one sin of an alim. Why? Because he possesses that knowledge, he knows what right and wrong is that, and based upon that knowledge which is given to him, that strong quality control is also there. So, when Allah gives these rights to Ma'sumeen, to prophets, to the Imams, it is not just for fun. There is that strong quality control, and based upon that, they will be rewarded, and if it is wrong that is being done by them, they will be punished. And the punishment also is different. It's a double share of reward, as there is a double share of punishment. So when we talk about ismat for Imams, it means that intellect, that aql which Allah has given to them, it's multiplied by a huge big number, which does not allow them to come closer to a sin. Not that they are creations like the angels who are bound to be good. No. So that has to be clear in your minds. Inshallah, if you get some time, we'll explore this subject a little bit more. Performance of Amir al-Mu'mineen also, it's amazing. When it comes to the services that Amir al-Mu'mineen has provided, for example, the services which he provides to the widows, to the orphan, it's amazing. Once he sees a woman who wants to fill and get some water for her home, and she's got her three children with her, and they are with that woman, and she has to go fetch the water, come to her house. Imam says, "Shall I help you?" And he helps him help her carry that water. And then there is a conversation that, "Who are you?" And then Imam at this time, he is the Hakim, the Khalifa, the ruler. She says that my husband was sent to one of these battles by Ali, and he got martyred. And I have been surviving after his shahadat, as you see. This is my daily routine, and I have to carry out all my tasks on my own. Upon this, Amir al-Mu'mineen is hurt that in the rule of Ali, must there be a woman dwelling such as this lady, who has all that burden on her, and Ali is unaware of her. He helps her up, and then says, "Stay here, I'll go and get some food for you." Goes and gets some wheat, some meat, and says that, now she was upset with Ali at that time, and she doesn't know that this is Amir al-Mu'mineen who is serving her. He says, "Come on, either you cook or look after the kids, or I will look after the children, or you." She says, "Cooking is, I will look after the children." Amir al-Mu'mineen here starts making bread. And in that tanur, the oven, when he wants to bake that bread, he cries, says that, "Ali, what reply do you have to be for your Lord on the Day of Judgment? That in your rule, this woman be living such a tough life, such a difficult life." So taste that fire. He takes his face into the oven, says, "Taste that heat. How come you were so neglectful and you did not take care of this woman?" He serves them, the orphans, the widows, and later on that woman, she found out that was Ali, Amir al-Mu'mineen, who was serving. And then also after the shahadat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the same can be seen. That when Imam Mustafa and Abdullah, when they were returning from the burial of the Imam, they see a leper near the cemetery, near the graveyard. He was crying. Here Imam Mustafa, he says that, "What's up, what's wrong?" He says, "I don't know where he is. He was a good person. He used to come here, look after me, take care of me, wash me, clean me, feed me, and it's 3 days he hasn't come, and I don't know who he was. But every time, whenever he went anywhere, he used to inform me that I'll be away for a few days. But this time he did not inform me, and he hasn't come for the past 3 days. He says, did you know who he was? He says, no, I never knew who he was. He says, that was your master, Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he will not come anymore. He has passed away. Now, in these nights that we are in, it was on the 13th of this month, that Amir al-Mu'mineen once he asked Imam al-Mujtaba, that what is the date today? He says, it's the 13th of this month. Then says to Imam, to Abu Abdullah, that how many days left for this month? He says 17. Holds his beard and says that it is this month and fast approaching is the day of my shahada, that is departing from this world. During the time of the Holy Prophet, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now this has been quoted by many of the historians. Says that Rasulullah in one of his journeys stops by a place and there this lady Umm Mahbud, she is living on her own, an old lady. And by her house is a dry tree. There Rasulullah, he performs his wuzu, and when he gargles his mouth, he sprinkles that water on the ground, throws that water on the ground, and that dead tree, it is green, bears fruit, as that ijaz and the miracle of the Prophet. And the day when Amir al-Mu'mineen passes away, that tree dries. And on the day when Abu Abdullah Hussein is martyred, that tree, the little, some of the trees which were green, all of them, they dried up. So these were some of these miracles, again, that were mentioned, and due to the performance of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Wasiyyat that Imam has that too, it's amazing. Now he calls his son, that is when it's the 21st, a day like today, when Imam is hit, Imam is wounded, and in sajda, the first thing he says is, Fuztuwarakshil Kaaba, that I, by the Lord of Kaaba, attain this prosperity. And then when Imam is brought home, everyone is in azab, everyone is hurt. Imam says, Saluni qabla an tafqiduni. Ask me whatsoever you want to ask before you lose me. People in Kufa, they had congregated in the house and outside the house, and when the physician he comes and he says that the best thing that could be a cure for Amir al-Mu'mineen is milk. And you found that there was a line, a queue of people in Kufa, everyone having a cup of milk, they want their master to be cured by that milk. Ibn Muljam La'anatullah alayhi is held, and then his wasiyyat to his eldest son, Imam al-Mustafa, is that, Hassan, if I live, that is, if I survive this wound, this attack, I know what to do with Ibn Muljam. And if I die, you as my warriors, he struck me once, you will strike him once. If he dies in that one blow, then that's it. And again, if he doesn't, then leave him free. And after that, Imam says, if he does die, I do not want you to crush his body, burn him down, as that was the tradition in those days. Says, I don't want you to do that. Because the instructions of Rasulullah are that no matter who that person is, if he is to be beheaded and punished, just punish him and lay him to rest. There. The same thing has to be done with the Muslim. Imam, he, on and off, he knocks off. That is, he faints. There is sweat on his forehead like pearls, which flow down from his forehead. And then he says, I heard Rasulullah say that a moment when the time comes for him to depart, you see these sweat as like pearls on his forehead. And I know that very soon I will be departing. Saluni qabla an tafqaduni, ask me whatsoever you want to ask before you lose me. There Zainab, she comes forward. She says, Father, Umm Ayman, she said to me that after you, my brother Hussein will be martyred, will be killed in Karbala. Is that true? Imam says, I'd like to add something to what Umm Ayman has said to you, and that is, he will be martyred, he will be killed, and you will be taken in captivity from one place to another, and you will be taken. And then Imam, he calls his children, and the hands of each one of them are given in the hands of Imam Mujtaba, being his successor and imam. Then Umm al-Baneen, she comes forward, says that, Ya Ali, was there anything wrong by Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas that you did not give his hand in the hands of Hassan? Here, Imam says, wait, call Abu Abdullah and Hussein, and there gives the hand of Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas in the hands of Imam Hussein. Wasiyyat that we have for Amir al-Mu'mineen says that to his elder son and Abu Abdullah, Usikuma bi taqwallah, that is, I invite you too to be obedient, to be pious, and observe that taqwa. Wa an la tabghiya ad-dunya wa in baghatkuma, that is, this dunya, it shouldn't deceive you, although it will come after you, but you don't go after that dunya. Wa la ta'safa ala shay'in minha fusuriya ankuma. وَقُولَا بِالْحَقْ وَعْمَلَا بِالْعَدْلِ. Say what is right, and whatever you do, do it for that ajr and for that reward. وَكُونَا لِلْظَالِمِ خَسْمًا وَلِلْمَظْلُومِ عَوْنًا. And I want you to stand against the zalim, against the tyrants, and when it comes to those who are mazloom, be helpful to them. Continues with his wasiyyah, says, Usikuma wa jameela wanti wa ahli wa man balagahu kinabi bitaqwa Allah. I invite you, this is my wasiyyah to you, to all those present over here, and then says, wa man balagahu kinabi, that is to you and me, that is generations who will come after me, this wasiyyah is for them as well. What is that? Bitaqwa Allah, be God-bearing. Be fearful of Allah. Wa nazm amrikum wa salah ilat baynikum. Be good to your relatives. Fa inni sami'tu jaddikum sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yaqul salah ilat bayn afdalu min ammat as-salat wa as-siyam. That being good to each other from among your relatives is much better than siyam, than fast and prayers. Allah, Allah fil aytan. When it comes to the orphans, have Allah in mind. And then says, فَلَا تَهُبُّوا أَفْوَاهَهُمْ وَلَا يُغَيِّعُوا بِحَضْرَتِكُمْ, that these orphans, they must not be ruined in your presence. Take care of these orphans. وَاللَّهُ اللَّهُ فِي جِيرَانِكُمْ. When it comes to your neighbors, observe that taqwa of Allah for those neighbors. أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّامُ الْقَلَقِ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها 10 times. يا الله 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 يا الله. اللهم أعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك.
يا حسين.